James chapter 1, thank you for the message and song. I told you he was decent. Amen. James chapter 1, appreciate the message and song, Jonathan, tonight. James chapter 1, Brother Ev, I'm hot. What's that? I can't tell. You got to move faster than that. Amen. All right, good. How many of you were hot too? All right. Praise the Lord. For once, we're on the same page. Normally, I say I'm hot, and you all are going, what? All right. Well, praise the Lord. When it kicks in, we're going to stop together and say amen. All right. We want to give God glory. James chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Did you hear something kick on? I heard that. Yeah, That's the wind of the Holy Ghost. Let the church say amen. All right. See, we asked in faith. You double-minded people, hot one minute, cold the other minute, you're unstable. All right. All right. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, we praise you and thank you for being God. What a mighty God you are. Thank you that through it all, you have been my God. And I thank you for it. Now use me tonight. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Make a difference through the preached word, and then help us to make a difference in the world based on what the word has made a difference in us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You don't see Pastor Mike tonight. He headed over here for choir rehearsal. Heart rate was a little bit elevated, so he decided to go home and try to get it down. I just got a text that says it is back to normal. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Give God some praise. And you know, that's the way trials go sometimes. Kind of up and down, huh? Sometimes they're going well, and sometimes things seem like they're smooth sailing. But we're learning from the book of James, whose theme really is spiritual maturity. We've summarized that in two words, grow up. And James is saying, grow up, because if you don't, you'll collapse during trials. In chapter 1, the very first chapter in this letter dealing with spiritual maturity, he deals with this issue of trials, because it is an issue in the life of a believer that each of us faces. Not all of us face bad health. Not all of us lose a child. Not all of us will go through the same scenario. But every single one of us has trials. Do you agree with that? So James says, since we're all going to have it, we all need to grow up. So he deals with this subject of counting it all joy. Here it is, letting your outlook determine your outcome. Now, you can't control what happens to you in your life. How many of you have found that out the hard way? You can't control it, but you can control how you respond to it. You cannot control what happens, but you can control how you respond to it. Jeremiah in Lamentations chapter 3 found himself in the depths of despair and drowning, if you will, under the billows of depression. But yet it was not a change in his circumstances that caused him to get out of it. It was a change in his outlook. It was a change in his focus. Nothing moved. The people didn't all of a sudden embrace him. The Israelites didn't all of a sudden enjoy his preaching. His enemies didn't all of a sudden start loving him. No, all of those trials were still there. But Jeremiah said, I'm not going to look at my trials. I'm going to look at my God. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of thy mercies that we're not consumed, because thy compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Somebody agree with me tonight. Great is thy faithfulness. Everything changed for Jeremiah when his outlook changed. The emphasis in James chapter 1 is not getting rid of your trials. Amen. It's getting rid of your pity party. Amen. And you got to count it all joy. Now, if you don't have joy in your trials, there's something wrong with your counting. Somebody say amen. So we're dealing with that. How do we count it all joy? We're assured of the facts that God tests his people, that God is teaching us patience. We're assisted in the fight. And we're dealing with that assistance here in this first chapter, in these verses, by giving us the available gift. God says, this is how I help you in the fight. I give you wisdom. Boy, we need it. Amen. You need wisdom when you're going through financial struggles. You need wisdom when you get a bad report from the doctor. You need wisdom when your marriage goes south all of a sudden. You need wisdom when you're dealing with a rebellious child. You need wisdom when you get laid off of a job. You need wisdom when you lose a loved one. You need wisdom when difficulties and calamities show up in your life that you've never dealt with before. We need wisdom when those things happen, and the joy can be received in our lives by knowing God gives wisdom. And by the way, if you don't get wisdom from God, whatever you have ain't wisdom. Because he's the only source of it. He's the source of it. He's the supplier of it. The available gift, the asked God, the abundance granted, give it to all men liberally, the affectionate grace, and upbraideth not. He does not chide you or revile you or mock you for asking for it. Nobody in this building has an excuse for not asking God for wisdom after God says, if you ask me, I won't make you feel bad for asking. If you ask God 10 times a day for wisdom, he won't go, are you here again? Are you asking me again? Now, if he gives it to you and you don't use it, you don't need to be asking him for more. You need to be using what he gave you. But he does not upbraid us. But here's the admonishment given, the admonishing guide, if you would. Ask in faith. Come on. Now, you may be asking God to get rid of your trial, and he may not do it. Listen, God does not promise to take our trials away. Not anymore, you agree with me. He does not promise to take our trials away, but he does promise us wisdom to take us through our trials. Amen. So stop going home going, oh, I'm just going to be miserable. As soon as God gets me out of this mess, I'm not going to be miserable anymore. Let me tell you something. You don't need to get rid of your trial to get your joy. You need to get some wisdom to show you how to keep your joy in the midst of your trial. That's what God's trying to teach us. The admonishing guide. There must be a faith-filled approach. I must ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Why? For he that wavereth is like a sea driven with the wind and tossed. Listen to me. When you come to a God that can do everything, acting like he can't, you are like somebody tossed to and fro by the sea. And that's why some Christians are happy at the morning service and depressed at the evening service, when the same God was in both services. What in the world happened to your God between 1 and 6? Nothing. If he was omnipotent this morning, he's omnipotent tonight. If he was omniscient this morning, he's omniscient tonight. He was omnipresent this morning, he's omnipresent tonight. immutable, unchanging this morning, he's immutable tonight. If he was eternal this morning, he's eternal tonight. If he was just this morning, he's just tonight. If he was merciful this morning, he's merciful tonight. If he was gracious this morning, he's gracious tonight. If he was good this morning, he's good tonight. If he was available this morning, he's available tonight. If he's here with us this morning, he's here with us. Aren't you glad that God doesn't go up and down? He's the same. Something wrong with our faith. We approach him like he's not able. And we go like this. See, whatever you move with determines whatever you're standing on. Huh? I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking. You sound good singing it. Go ahead with your bad self. But if a trial goes this way and you go with it, you ain't standing on the rock. You're standing on your trial. That's why you don't want to be an emotional Christian. Because if you're an emotional Christian, you have to go where your emotion's taking you. And sometimes they boldly take you where no man has ever gone before. All right? Any Star Trek fans in the house? Amen. Brother Barry said, amen. I only like the old one. Ain't much new coming out that's any good. I'm just letting you know. If they got the new of anything that was old, the new is not good most of the time. Amen. Faith-filled approach. Notice this fruitful attitude. Nothing wavering. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. We need to have a fruitful attitude. In other words, we need to have an attitude that produces fruit, meaning knowing that when I do ask, I do receive. When I do seek, I do find. And when I do knock, I shall have the door open. Let me tell you something. A lot of Christians are asking the right stuff, but they're not asking with the right assurance. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with your prayer list. There's something wrong with the prayer of the list. I'm asking God for all the right things. Yeah, but you're asking God for the right things the wrong way. Notice this, if you would, this fickle actuality. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I don't want you to miss this. Because we make the grave mistake in the Christian life sometime of only connecting occurrences with what we sense is related to them. Are you listening to me? So sometimes we think what happened at church with someone really won't affect us when we get to the job tomorrow with somebody different. What we fail to realize is church may be here and the job may be there. The person at church may be here and the person at work may be there. But if you are in both places, then your fickleness will go with you. So the reason why instability occurs in every one of our ways is because when our faith is not right, it affects our character. And when our character is wrong, then wherever we are, instability persists. Pastor, why are you preaching this? Because I don't want you to waste your time and the time of other people by changing locations, changing scenarios, and reassimilating your surroundings every time you think the situation is unstable. Because you can go to the other side of the fence where the grass looks greener, but as long as you are over there, you will take your instability with you. You can't change your location and change your ministry and change your goal and change your calling and change your church and change your dreams and change your plans. Every time instability happens, it's not about a better job. It's not about hearing better news. It's not about a better husband, a better spouse, or a better child. No, it's about faith in God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. You realize, I'm just simply saying, you can be not right with God in your faith, and it can affect your driving, affect your physical appetite, And be careful when church is over and you think, oh, I'm done with the spiritual. Now I'll go to the other categories. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, there's no area of your life that's not spiritual. You don't need stability just to sit still in church without your mind running all over the place. You need stability when you go to the gym, sir, so you ain't looking at what you shouldn't be looking at. You need stability when you're at home by yourself, ma'am, so you're not caught up on the television soap operas when you could be meditating on the goodness of God. You need stability when you work out. You need stability at the restaurant. You need stability on the job. You need stability on vacation. You need stability when you're sitting at a computer screen all by yourself. And God says, don't get your faith right. You'll be everywhere, and everywhere you go, your instability will go with you. All his ways. Huh. I want us to look tonight at what he says. This faith-filled approach, this fruitful attitude. Watch this fruitful attitude. If you rejoice, it's that you've been lifted. Let the brother of lower degree rejoice in that he's exalted. Sometimes, through your trials and through your faith, God gives you wisdom. And as a result of trials and the need to ask for wisdom and the gift of wisdom liberally from God without chiding you, as a result of it being asked in faith, God takes you through the trial from a low place to a lifted place. How many people can say something bad happened in my life, but something good came out of it? Now, that doesn't happen with everybody. And it has nothing to do with God. Do you realize you can go through a trial and get better, or you can go through a trial and get bitter? Whether you're lifted as a result of a trial has everything to do with your wisdom you have during it. And whether you have wisdom during it has everything to do with your faith when you ask for it. Is there anybody listening to me tonight? We're talking about keeping your joy. How are you going to have joy when you're mad at God? And how would you be mad at God if you had wisdom? And how are you going to have wisdom if you don't ask for it? And how are you going to have wisdom if when you ask for it, you don't ask in faith? I'm just simply saying we need to get our minds together. There's something wrong with our joy because we're not counting it all joy. And we're not counting it all joy because we don't realize that even though we're in this fight, we're not alone. Amen. Rejoice. Rejoice. And that you were lifted. But guess what? You ought to rejoice if you're lowered too. Because sometimes God uses trials to get people down up. Come on. But sometimes he uses trials to get people up, down. Did you hear me? Sometimes he has to bring us down to size. Now watch this now. The brother of low degree that he is exalted, the rich in that he is made low because of the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. And then he gives an illustration, verse number 11. The sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, the flower thereof falleth, and the grace fashioneth, perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade in his ways. Now you say, oh my goodness, how can I count it all joy if I had a lot and after the trial I have little? I'll tell you why. Because God using the trial to take away your lot and to make it little reminds you of how fickle and how short and brief the lot was. Listen to me. Sometimes God has to take stuff away from us to remind us that that stuff wasn't that valuable in the first place. That's why you rejoice. The only way to know that God is sufficient is for God to get rid of the other stuff that we counted as sufficient. And how many of us have figured out the hard way that we can last without stuff, because once it's gone, we lasted. Come on. How many times before God took it did we say we couldn't survive without it? Anybody, any of you in here have stopped drinking soda? I'm one of them. Anybody else? Put your hand up high. Now, keep your hand up. If you stop drinking soda and you used to be able to devour soda, keep your hand up. A couple hands. Coke? Pepsi. And by the way, you hear how she said that? If you meet a coke addict, I'm glad you're not a coke addict, Arlie. We can squash that rumor John's been starting. But anyway, Coca-Cola addicts and Pepsi addicts are very particular. When you're not particular, you could take one or the other. Now, I wouldn't care if it was a Coke or a Pepsi. But you hear how she said? I said, Pepsi! Coke? Coke. Boy, I'd love to see this battle right here. We do have some Coke addicts in the village. Do you remember when you told yourself, I could never survive without a Pepsi? My mom used to keep Pepsi in the medicine cabinet in her bathroom because it was the only thing that would get rid of a headache for her. And she never drinks Coke anymore. It's amazing. And by the way, she got to a point in her health where she had to stop, and she found out when she had to stop that long before she had to stop, she could have stopped. And we got stuff in our life that we can't think we can't do without. And God's doing us a favor by giving us a trial that gets it out of our lives, because sometimes it's the only way we will ever discover about ourselves what we can actually do without. And by the way, I don't have time to make up a list tonight, but let me just bring it all down to a generality. Everything besides God, you can do without. You can't do without God. And as much as I can't stand trials sometimes it's the only way God can remind me, Kenny, you don't need this. Kenny, you don't need that. You need me. We never make that discovery left to ourselves. It doesn't mean everything we had and lost was bad. It just means God was more. And you remember when Paul, I believe it was Paul in the book of Hebrews, whoever you believe it was, said, lay aside the weight and the sin. You know what he was saying? Being the best for God doesn't just mean getting rid of sin. It means getting rid of weights. So you have to view yourself as a runner. And runners, listen, not wearing heavy stuff as a runner doesn't mean that you're a better person. It just means you're a faster runner. You listening to me? And trials sometimes not only get the sin out, but they get the weights out. Wow. He said, rich man, you got to understand that your riches are like a flower that looks beautiful one day but gets scorched in the sun. And that's how short-lived riches are. Boy, the world has so many examples of how long it takes to get to the top and how fast you can fall to the bottom. I want to tell you something. On the way down, gravity is not on your side. Here's my auntie Lassie in Tallahassee. You better be careful who you kicking on the way up. You might pass them on the way down. All right? And it's true. Everybody you've been stepping on, get out my way, you bozo. You'd be falling down. They'd be saying, who's the bozo now? All right, so you got to be careful. Be careful. Tonight, let me give you the last thought and let you go home. We are assured of some facts. We are assisted in the fight. And then lastly, we are awarded for faithfulness. Whew. And by the way, we don't serve God to be awarded or rewarded, but it sure is a good incentive. And by the way, bribery is giving you something to get you to do wrong. Giving you something to get you to do right is not bribery, it's an incentive. And James is giving us an incentive. Here it is. Blessed. Somebody say amen. Blessed. Blessed. If you'd rather say blessed. Same word. Amen. I call this enjoyed pleasure. Blessed is the man, woman, boy or girl. That's what that word man means. Blessed. There's an enjoyed pleasure. Notice what he says. That endured temptation. There's an enduring process. Blessed. Everybody wants to say, I'm blessed. We're all blessed. But some people that use it ain't blessed like they make it sound. I'm blessed. They just heard somebody say that. Well, let me tell you, you can be blessed. You got to endure your trial. You don't get blessed for tapping out. You don't get blessed for dropping the class. Aren't we talking about testing? You know what some people do about testing? They just don't show up on test day. I'd like to tell you that teacher Jesus will send the hound dogs of heaven to hunt you down. He'll come administer the test at your house. Just because you skip church don't mean you can avoid testing. I don't want to go to church. I got to face all them people that are going to ask me a lot of questions. That's all right. The Holy Ghost will come to your bedroom and ask you questions. I lock my window. I lock my door. He'll come through both of them. You can't avoid God's testings by avoiding certain situations. Not going to church, not picking up the Bible, not praying, not listening to preaching, not getting around other spiritual people because I know it's going to put me in a position where I'm tested. Let me tell you something. God will test you from anywhere. He'll bring the paper, give you a pencil, and make you sit down and take it. So don't avoid the test. Just make sure you're in tune with the God of wisdom. Enjoyed pleasure. Endured process. For when he is tried. You see that? There's an experienced protocol. For when he is tried. Not until. Not until you tried can you expect your award from God. I wonder how many people are going to be in the front of the line in heaven. Ooh. I like that crown. That shiny one. That's got my birthstone in it. God said, wait. You can't have it until you've been tried. And not only were you tried, you endured. See, it's easier to jump out of the trial and fail God. But when you don't get the reward, it wasn't worth it. For when he is tried, the experience protocol, what's the protocol? Tried, you will be tested. Notice what the next part of the verse is. He shall receive. And notice what it said, which the Lord hath promised. Notice the expected promise. He shall receive. The Lord hath promised. Hey, let me tell you something. You can go to the bank on what God says. If he promised it, it's going to happen. What's the big deal? I'm saying when you go through a trial, instead of looking at the trial, start looking at the promise. God's got something for me for enduring. If that doesn't help you, I don't know what you're doing. That helps me. Expected promise. Notice the everlasting presenter, which the Lord hath promised. Boy, isn't it a blessing to get something from God? Which the Lord hath promised, the everlasting presenter, the expected promise, the enjoyed pleasure, the endured process, the experienced protocol. But notice the crown of life, the eternal prize. In other words, what God has for us, and we heard just a few moments ago, riches are here today and gone tomorrow. They burn up like a flower does in the sun. What you have today, you can lose tomorrow. But God said, when you endure the trial, what I give you, you'll never lose. It'll never fade away. The eternal prize. And then, I think one of the best ones is the exposed proof to them. I love him. Grow up, James says. Really, James? Yeah. Well, how do I know if I'm growing up? You know it when you face trials. And you still have joy. Well, that's a whole lot easier said than done. True. But I can tell you how you can have it. Really? Absolutely. Well, tell me, James. Number one, be assured of some facts. Please know that you're not the only one facing trials. This is what God does with his people. And by the way, your faith works better when it's exercised, just like all your other muscles do. Ah. I'm trying to tell you, God's trying to teach you patience so you can be complete, content, wanting nothing. Well, I guess when I go through trials, I shouldn't be surprised. Absolutely. Secondly, you're assisted in the fight. Whew, really? What kind of assistance? Wisdom, dummy. Watch it, James. Wisdom. All you got to do is ask God. You mean all I got to do is ask him? That's easy. Whoa. You got to ask in faith. And you can't waver. Because by being up and down in how you talk to God, it makes you up and down in everything else you do. No wonder my prayer life is, my finances, I guess it's a faith issue. Now you're getting it. And one more. You're awarded for your faithfulness. I know it seems like it's never going to end. But guess what? If you keep on going through trials, God says, he's going to bless you. Well, I like the blessings of God. He makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Yep, that's God's blessings. When you're tried, guess what he's got waiting for you? A crown of life that he's going to hand you. Not the angels. God's going to hand you. And by the way, if you get it, it's proof you loved him. You mean tell me that if I face this trial I'm enduring right now and don't quit, that God's going to reward me and I can look forward to that crown of life, and better yet, I get to take the opportunity to prove to my God I love him. After all, he's already proved to me he loves me. See, we prove nothing to God when we have joy in good times. Lost people can do that. But we prove a lot to God when things don't go our way, situations go awry, and circumstances go a direction we weren't planning on. Yet we say, God, I may lose everything, but as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. If we're going to mature as a church, we're going to have to learn through these unavoidable scenarios called trials to make the choice to count it, consider it, evaluate it, reckon it, esteem it, and conclude it to be all joy. Amen. Our Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You remind us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Help us not to miss it. The work you're doing in our lives. Glorify yourself in our spiritual maturity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. If you'd like to come to the altar, would you come?